Wired Jesus Podcast, March 4th, 2011. Creative Commons licensed.
Initiating startup sequence.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
Wired Jesus Podcast. Wired Wandering. Postmodern.
Look, I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
Well, yeah, but just because God doesn't answer your prayers doesn't mean he doesn't care about you.
Well, then why didn't he give me what I wanted?
Well, God can't just answer every prayer and suddenly give you everything you want. That takes all the living out of life.
What do you mean?
Hello, and welcome to the Wired Jesus Podcast, the wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim. I'm your host and fellow traveler, Tom Lieberg, and glad you've come along for our journey together.
You know what? My engine's revving to go. It's revving up. How about yours? And if it's not, you know what? If your engine is not revving up, you know what you need? You need a Holy Ghost enema right up your rear end. Because God won't tolerate it. He will not tolerate anything else. Say, I've never seen this side of you. Let me tell you something. Whoa. When you allow the Spirit of God and you don't worry about man's opinions, because you know what? It's what God cares. It's what He thinks. Be God pleasers. Don't be people pleasers. Because if you're a people pleaser, you're a butt kisser. If you're a people pleaser, you're a butt kisser. And there's no other word for it.
I don't know, Kyle. Did you ask Mr. Hatt?
I don't want to ask Mr. Hatt. You.
Oh, I think you should ask Mr. Hatt.
Mr. Hatt, may I please be excused from class?
Well, Kyle.
No! You hear me? You go to hell! You go to hell and you die!
Guess you'll have to take your seat, Kyle.
Damn it! Ha-ha! Mr. Hatt yelled at you.
Rob Bell. He's a pastor and preacher. I came across a number of years ago when he spoke at one of our tribe's national youth gatherings. About every 3 years, 35,000 Lutheran teenagers converge on some unsuspecting city in the U.S. to worship, serve, and stimulate the local economy by investing in Mountain Dew, Chicken McNuggets, and hotel snack machines. They're great events, and honestly, they really are wonderful spiritual and faith experiences for the youth that go. They're events I always look forward to. In this particular year, Rob Bell spoke, and his storytelling style, his way of drawing both kids and adults into the nuts and bolts of following Jesus as a lifestyle, was great. But it was the way he used video in storytelling and preaching that really got me. I mean, here was someone who thought like I did, who saw the power of digital art and video as a means to communicate the gospel to the under-boomer crowd. Not only that, I'd admit, I was rather jealous. He had the tech savvy and the help to do the type of things I was still dreaming about and fumbling around with using ancient versions of PowerPoint and, on occasion, even more ancient slide projectors. Well, when we got back, I checked out Rob some more and just kind of kept my ears open. And he didn't live too far away from where I was at. I was just across the Michigan line into Ohio, and he was just north into Grand Rapids. I thought, you know, this would be something to do a podcast about. Now, through some friends, I heard he had started this video series called Pneuma, and this was early on when only the first four were out. As my friend put, he said, it's video preaching, but it's really, really good. It's not like a TV evangelist. Now, this was different. This was blending music, art, and storytelling and the Bible in a way that worked, that really communicated with kids who had been raised on music videos. And this was still pre-YouTube and Facebook. So I got the first set, and I showed the very first one called Rain to our youth group, and we talked for over an hour afterwards. The image of God as Father and being truly loved came across in a new way for many of them. In fact, the kids enjoyed it so much, and it meant so much to them, they wanted to show it to their parents. So we did. We had an adult class, brought everyone together, and suddenly I had a group of weeping adults who wanted to go hug their kids and talk about what unconditional love looks like. Not long after, I decided to use some midweek services to continue to introduce video into worship. That was one of the reasons I was there, to move them from traditional worship to new contemporary styles of worship. Now, back in the day, slideshows, and for those of you who may have even heard of these things, film strips, weren't uncommon in churches for special occasions. You would use them for a visiting missionary or a youth trip, but nothing like today, where media is part of the language and not just simply a special event. Well, one of the local high school had a video projector, and they would allow churches to borrow it. And this, you know, these were things that were, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. But we had a teacher in the church who said that she could borrow it. And so I thought, well, we'll use these for these Lenten services. So I put together a series prior to Easter reflecting on the themes of Lent: suffering, death, love, and so forth. And at the center of each service was a Pneuma video that took the place of the sermon. Now, at this point, there was... six or seven, so I had enough to do the full season. So I put together each service, and, you know, was getting help, and there were certainly some doubters. I mean, this was a congregation that was 120 years old, and they had really never done this before. Closest was a 16-millimeter film projector that they used, like I said, when a missionary would come. They were still getting used to the trauma of having a drum set in the worship center. But a screen went up, and even with the questions that, well, if the pastor's not preaching, he's not doing his job, and all the usual chatter that happens in the church when you're trying something new, and there's always that faction that doesn't want to see that happen. But then the first Wednesday came, and we watched Rain. And it was that parent group all over again. And unlike what usually happens when we go through the Lenten season, for those of you who are familiar with this tradition, many Christians during the season of Lent from Ash Wednesday up until Holy Week, which is the week before Easter, we'll have Wednesday night services where we gather and think and read and consider the stories of Jesus' suffering and death. You know, it's part of that whole Lenten discipline that includes, you know, giving up something for Lent and so forth. But, you know, we're focusing in on the Bible stories that tell, you know, what Jesus did and why and what he said during those final days. Well, usually what happens with these Wednesday services is folks get busy, you're getting closer to spring, and you start out strong on Ash Wednesday, and then attendance kind of goes down until just before Holy Week, you may be down to just a handful of people. Well, this time, the big crowd was there on the first Wednesday, and then the numbers kept going up. They didn't go down. People wanted to see more Numa. They told their friends. They were bringing friends, and this included older people. And this is the thing that I was really hoping for that would finally connect, is that in worship today, and this is not different from years ago, but what was happening on that screen wasn't entertainment. It wasn't a feel-good experience. People came and then left talking about following Jesus. They were picking up Bibles and following along. They were discussing what they saw with their friends and their kids. Well, that was, oh my goodness, late 90s, early 2000, I suppose. And I'm three congregations beyond that. And Rob Bell and Numa have played a critical role in my ministry in helping boomers and older congregations to understand the effectiveness of media and worship, moving us from the point of integrating technology and worship on a regular and weekly basis from a point where, you know, we can't do that. For many, the issue was the old paradigm that television and movies are entertainment, and that doesn't have a place in Christian worship. But Numa spoke in a new and powerful way about God's grace and what following Jesus meant today. So instead of being a one-way passive experience, they discovered Numa as a venue to open up a dialogue and discussion with others and with God. Now, it's not the first time I've heard this. When you do a search on Google or YouTube, you're going to find trailers for Numa and Rob Bell's home pages and wonderful stories and comments about the good things that Numa has helped happen in congregations around the country. But when you do those searches now, you're going to find that his official links are now outnumbered by satire and criticism sites or videos. And they have bylines like this. I just pulled these off. Warnings against the false teachings of Rob Bell. Rob Bell is sending doctrines of demons right down the pipeline into conservative evangelical churches through his books and Numa videos. Bell rejects scripture alone on principle. He thereby takes the same position that the Roman Catholic Church took against the Reformers. That since the Church, guided by the Holy Spirit, gave us the Bible, the Church, guided by the Holy Spirit, is authoritative over the Bible. I've seen this going on for several years. I find absolutely amazing at the open hate of Rob Bell in some Christian circles, particularly among some evangelicals. What's fascinating in this transcript that I'm recording today, I actually wrote a week ago. And a few days after that, it went all over Twitter about Rob's new book, and it's posted there on Wired Jesus. His new book hasn't come out. All that's out is the title and an introductory paragraph. And evangelicals and this whole crowd that didn't like Rob Bell before have gone absolutely ballistic. He's preaching universal salvation, that God loves everyone, and bizarro stuff. And angry. And what's interesting is right now the focus is on this new book, but if you go back to Numa, the one Numa video that they all point out, it seems, as the guilt of his heresy and falling from true faith, is one of my favorites. It's called Bullhorn. And the reason for the hate? I'll use the church word. Grace. The critics say God or actually they say Rob is too easy on people. That God may be gracious, but not like he's saying. What Rob says in Bullhorn, and likely what he's going to be saying in his new book, undermines over 100 years of American evangelicalism. Now, I've put up the link for the Bullhorn trailer on YouTube, and as much as I would love to be able to use some, you know, a little bit of quotes of Rob and some of the wonderful music from Numa, the folks there are pretty clear that you know, they hold the copyright and would prefer that you didn't. And even though I've talked about interviewing Rob before, and that was years ago, I'd rather get the podcast out than try and negotiate something or do something that would be a little questionable on the copyright side of things. So go to the link for the public posting of the trailer for Bullhorn on YouTube, or call a local pastor, see if they have a copy you can watch. But if you get a chance, watch the whole video, and you'll see what I mean. And if you're under the age of 45, you will get it. Rob comments on the offense and irrelevance of a certain style of old-time street corner preaching, you know, standing there in crowds, handing out flyers with the message that has been used by evangelical groups for decades. It boils down to the same old question. If you die tonight, do you know where you will spend eternity? Well, if you answer no, then the person will tell you that you will spend it in hell if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So what does that mean? It means if you haven't prayed the believer's prayer, which is not found in the Bible, but was, you know, coined and written here in this country in the 19th century, that invites Jesus into your heart to save your sinful carcass, you are going to hell. And that's just not non-Christians, but Catholics, anyone who is baptized as an infant, anyone who, you know, isn't a true believer. I mean, it pretty much means if you don't agree with what the speaker is saying, you're going to hell. And so the thought is, you serve Jesus by screaming damnation from street corners to scare people into heaven. Yeah, I've seen it here in Findlay, Ohio, where I live. There's a group that shows up every now and then in the center of town, and they have their little posters and pamphlets and everything else. And my guess is most all of you have seen these folks at one point in another or another. And if you're listening to this podcast, I'm guessing you probably had the same response that I do. Why in the world would anyone do that? What does that have to do with Jesus? Well, you see, the same line of thinking that causes people to do that also has underneath it that if you don't share Jesus with those around you, their salvation or damnation is on you. It's your responsibility. Your coworker dies without making a decision for Jesus. That's on you for not witnessing. So now your soul is in jeopardy. So God wants you to scare other people into heaven with hell and rules, because if you don't, even if you made your decision for Jesus, you still risk joining the damned because you didn't do your part. There are entire congregations, denominations, and TV ministries that are built on this whole premise. And in this video, not maliciously, not sarcastically, Rob takes it all apart and says what Jesus calls us to is something different, something better. Love wins over rules, over damnation, over thinking we can get it right with God and have our life make sense on our own choices and decisions. that somehow what Jesus has done isn't quite enough, so I have to do my part to prove that I really love God and that God should really love me. Rob had it right. It's in the title of the new book, Love Wins. And I would say it doesn't get more biblical than that. But his critics, now they say he's a false prophet of love who's sending people to hell. Because he's saying God loves and cares for us unconditionally. Which is too much. Really, when you kind of dig into it a little more, what Rob is questioning is our understanding of the purpose of the church. You know, why do we follow Jesus? Why do we gather in communities in his name and have done that for 2,000 years? You see, the thing is, the American versions of church have devolved largely into clubs of like-minded, socially alike people on Sunday mornings. The statistic that's out there, the most segregated day of the week is Sunday. And where do you see it? In churches. But when you get past the surface reasons of being with people you like and it's good for business or for the kids, you know, why do we say we worship God as revealed in Jesus of Nazareth? Is the entire purpose of following Jesus to get into heaven and escape punishment? I mean, where's the grace in that? Where's the love? It ends up coming across like God created all things as a pain puzzle. You figure it out, you get to live with God in bliss. If you don't in your brief single lifetime, well, sucks to be you. Salvation, life with God, is the result, not the purpose. And I would say the Bible supports that. The purpose is to have a relationship with God and through that relationship participate in God's purpose for all creation. It means loving your neighbor, serving others, being a sign of the kingdom of God in a broken world. It means discipleship, love, and service out of gratitude for what God has done for us, not scorekeeping to get into heaven, which honestly isn't biblical either. If you have a Bible, go ahead and read Genesis 1 and 2, first two chapters of the Bible, and then read Revelation 21, the second to the last chapter of the Bible. It's pretty clear. Despite what we say popularly in books and TV movies and even in our churches, we human beings don't go to heaven. God recreates heaven and earth and comes down to live in a new earth with his people, in the midst of his creation, not away from it. Rob gets this. And for those of us who are tired of the emotionally manipulative and terrorizing churches of the 20th century, Bullhorn speaks gospel to us. And it's actually pathetic to watch, you know, some of the attempts to make fun or condemn Rob when it comes to, you know, this position, particularly Bullhorn. There's one YouTube attempt called Bullwhip Guy that tries to make fun of Rob and show that Jesus, you know, really took sin seriously and punishment and judgment seriously. So Jesus is the angry rule monger who goes into the temple. It's you know, it's a biblical story where Jesus goes into the temple and clears out the money sellers and those who are selling animal sacrifices. But he shows just that one segment of Jesus' life as to, you know, really make the point that all that Jesus was about was being a hard judge of eternal life. And that's what the rest of the Gospels are all about. you take the whole story, the whole gospel, and you realize Jesus spoke out against the rule system of salvation of the Pharisees and the Jewish religious leaders. And he undercut all that, and the result was, well, they didn't like it, so they killed him. When Rob speaks out against the 19th century system of terror salvation and biblical literalism that so many congregations are built on, it's the same response. They attack him. Now, their perspective is God's unconditional grace, God's unconditional love, can't really be unconditional. We have to do something to help God save us and make us really worthy. So for me, bullwhip guy is no different than the leaders of Jesus' day trying to defend their system of rules for God to love you and to keep up the fences that keep the unworthy out. And when you do something like that, you just look ridiculous and no one wants to listen to you. With only about 45,000 views of Bullwhip Guy and 2.5 million copies of Numa videos sold, well, I think that pretty much says it all. Even realizing that the Bell haters will just say it proves that people are hungry for false prophets to the hard truth of the real Jesus. Yeah. Right. Scary Judge Jesus says so much more about God than the love of Jesus in life and on the cross. The background song for Bullhorn by a composer named David Vanderveld, I think, sums it up well. Heaven weeps for creepy people like you. Like I said, check out Bullhorn, but hey, the song, you can download it on YouTube. Not YouTube, it's on iTunes. Check it out. Well, Rob has moved on to new creative outlets after doing 24 Numa videos, which are all well worth buying for your personal use, and if you are in a church, they are great for small group discussion or in worship. In a time when the North American church, both Catholic and Protestant, are struggling for relevance between the poles of being vague, helping societies of nice people to rigid commandos for airlifts out of the highway to hell, I would say Rob Bell grounds us back into the mission of the church, the mission of Jesus, the mission that offends the idea of human self-help, of rural mongering in the name of God, and the exclusion of the unworthy from the midst of the saved. You know, looking at the whole landscape, it really isn't a whole lot different on a number of levels from the Protestant Reformation. After starving people of God's unconditional grace and calling it evangelical, much to the detriment of my evangelical friends who don't buy into this, Rob points new generations to what Jesus spoke about most, the kingdom of God, living under God's lordship of love, and that has come into the world through us right now. You know, that's something I can live for and be confident of in the future and beyond. And if that makes me a heretic, so be it. After all, I'm in good company. They said the same thing about Jesus and nailed him to a cross, but God made sure that was not the end of the story. So I'll continue to stand with Jesus. I'll stand with people like Rob. And I'll keep passing Bullhorn Guy by. That's it for Wired Jesus number 58. And Interestingly enough, when I recorded this a week ago, I was stuck at home in a snowstorm. And if you followed the news, the snowstorm made for a great creative writing generator. But soon after that, we were hit with some very serious flooding here in Findlay that made the national news. We were fine. We did not have any flooding at our house. We were outside the floodplain. And fortunately, the damage in town was not nearly as bad as what was expected. There's still a lot of folks whose homes were damaged and businesses that went under. But overall, we all did much better than what it could have been. Like I mentioned, I've been wanting to do this podcast about Rob Bell for a while. And I, you know, when I first started podcasting, I got hold of Rob's brother, who handles a lot of his speaking engagements and that. We just couldn't make a connection. And now he is so busy with his travels and schedules, you know, I'm sure I could not get an interview anymore. But I am so glad his creative ministry has taken off. And so not only check out Numa, but check out the Flannel site of some of the new projects that he's helping make possible. There are some great things that are out there, and more folks who are now involved in this style of preaching via media. Also, since I've had some questions about Hootsuite in Twitter and how I'm now using them to broaden my wired wanderings, that'll be the next podcast. Talk a little bit about how I've changed my mind from Twitter being nothing more than bumper sticker wisdom to a whole new venue for wired wanderings and faith development, not to mention a new library for pastor people like me. So that'll be coming up next. So for the rest of the day, I think I'm going to get a little home chores done here on my day off, chill a little bit, maybe play a little Mass Effect, and enjoy some time with the family. Hope you get a chance to do the same. So until the next podcast, thanks for listening, and see you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slot like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee, blee.
Well done. Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two.
I wrote that.
Yeah.